Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
Actually, today I want to talk to you about the blessing, and I want to kind of talk just for a second, showing you a video. I saw it here in Florida, and it's about contact tracing and how it was kind of interesting. Here in Florida, they showed there were a bunch of people on a beach, and then within a few days, because of their phones, they could track them. I think they have it on there, the contact tracing, and they started scattering out, and you could see where they were at. And so today, I want to kind of get in your mind, Earth City, Sunset, all campuses, about the contact tracing of the blessing of God upon your life. Of course, we know last week we talked a little bit about Adam and Eve in the garden and how, the deception came in and then the fall of man came. Of course, we know that childbirth became painful, but then God sent the second Adam called epiduro. Can I get an amen, right? I'm only knowing all this stuff now because Morgan, our daughter-in-law, is getting ready to have a baby in Jesus' name this week. Come on, give it up for her. I'm going to be a grandpa, y'all. And so I want to talk about how you can trace the blessing of God all the way back to not only the garden, but trace it back into your life. In other words, you can change the trajectory of your life right now based on the information that you receive from the Word of God. And so first, let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, when he grew up, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ill-treated by the people and enjoy the pleasures of this sin for a season. He said, in other words, I'm not going to identify with this world system. I'm going to, and we can trace back the blessing of God on his life right now, I'm going to go with the word system. So we have two systems here in operation. You've got the world system, which we live in this world. How many of y'all, even in St. Louis, are here? You're on the people planet today. You're in the world, but how many of y'all not of this world? You come from a kingdom where your father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not voted in and out every year. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. In other words, he said, I was God when y'all got up in here, and I'll be God when you're gone. Can I get an amen? And that's really cool, right? So Moses, we can trace back the blessing in his life to the decisions he made as a young man. The decisions determine your direction, and direction determines your destiny. Your life and the quality of your life really is about where you're at emotionally right now. It's not about the things which you get that make you happy. It's about who you become that's going to make you happy or going to make you sad. I think we've all had those moments in our life where we thought, I don't like who I'm becoming. I don't like, so all of a sudden now we trace it back and say, well, actually it was a hurt. In fact, not this Sunday, this following Sunday, Thanksgiving, but the next one, God gave me a message yesterday, and it's in me burning like crazy. I got to tell you the title of it. When Hurt Turns to Hate. Everybody shout that. When Hurt Turns to Hate. We're going to deal with that. But let's trace back right now and say, what can make the difference in your life? Of course, we know the word, but it's not just hearing the word that changes your life. It's knowing the word. So I want to kind of trace back just for a moment for Sunset Hills, people at Sunset Hills right now. You're sitting in a 2,400-seat auditorium that was built by a guy by the name of Pastor Rick Shelton. And Pastor Rick went to church with my dad when I was little. In fact, I got a little picture with my bowl cut when I was little that I think Pastor Rick probably took. You put it up there. Was I a cute kid or what? Come on. Come on. Go with me on this. This is my sermon. Help me now. Look at that. Perfect bowl cut, right? Looked like the scene from Dumber, Dumber, right? We got one more going to Aspen. So my dad was on the church steps. Pastor Rick Shelton's taking the picture. They all went to church together. I'm going to trace your building right now where you're at back to this moment. There's a scar on my head today because at that same church, I would run outside and I fell and busted my head. I have scars from being at that church, but I also have memories from being at that church, and I can trace back the moments that we're in right now to those moments. I think there's a picture with Pastor Rick. Let's put it up now. A lot of you guys are like, who's Rick Shelton? That's not my dad. But that's like a spiritual father to me. The guy who took the picture in there, now you can take it down. Here's tracing it back to the triumphant victory that we have now. So before that picture was taken, I was a little baby and I needed milk. And my dad was praying, God, send milk. He was a cop who was believing God to become a preacher. And through a supernatural sign, Pastor Rick Shelton just came to my dad's house and said, God told me to give you my last $5. Now, five means grace. Everybody shout that with me. Five means grace. Come on, all campuses, shout it loud. So he comes and gives Dad $5. My dad starts crying and said, I was just believing God for milk money for baby Dave. That's what he called me. You don't call me baby Dave, you'll probably go to hell. Come on, somebody help me. My dad was big Dave and I was baby Dave. So Rick says, and I didn't know this story until a couple years ago. He said, I went to the store with your dad, got the milk, came back to your house, and I fed you as a little baby. Now, he built that great church that you're at right now, and through a chain of events, you know, God raised up Joyce Meyer out of Life in the Word, out of that church called Life Christian Center. He sweat blood. He gave his life to that. But then there was a time when the ministry, his ministry, began to decline, and his kids weren't there legacy-wise to take over. And then one day, we were able to come in and buy their building, get financially set them up and their church to our old building, and got them some money in the bank and took care of them. And he told me, he said, in that picture there, he said, when I was doing okay and you were a baby, I came and I fed you. Now I'm an old man and you're coming back and feeding me. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. It's legacy. Come on, don't patty cake. Give God a shout. Legacy. Everybody shout legacy. So we can trace back the building that you're in Sunset Hills, and really we can trace back every great thing that's happened to our church based on the anointing of God that was on spiritual fathers in my life who set me up to do what God called me to do. Now, I keep saying me, and I really want to talk about you. I'm saying right now, at this moment, here, you know, just a few days before Thanksgiving on this beautiful Sunday morning, you could say this is the weekend that my kids are going to be able to trace no longer tragedy in our life, but they're going to be able to trace triumphant victory in our life because we're not choosing, somebody help me right now, we're not choosing the way of the world, we're choosing the way of the Word. Somebody shout hallelujah to that. Now, there has to be pivotal moments in your life. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, notice he's not Abraham yet, he's Abram. He changed his name like Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince. Abram is now Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. He doesn't even have any kids yet. His wife is so old and wrinkled up and there is no Viagra. Come on, help me right now. There's nothing in the natural can help them, but God can put his super on your natural and you can trace the moment when God spoke to him and said, I'm putting a dream in your heart, Abram, and you will become Abraham. Now, you have had a name change, and when you received Jesus, you took on the name Christian. You are a little Christ in the earth realm. Somebody ought to help me right now. And the Bible said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We're not going to wait till we see how everything shakes out to see if it's going to be a good life. No, 2020 is your year to see victory, favor, supernatural opportunity, and divine breakthrough. Over the next 5 years, I prophesy to you, it's grace and favor, baby. In 21, you'll look back and say, we won, W-O-N-E. In 22, you'll say, look what God's about to do. In 23, you're going to say you're going to be free. In 24, you're going to say, God, I can't handle anymore. In 25, you're going to feel more alive than you ever have in the history of your life. Come on, somebody give God praise in this house. Oh, Lord. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country and your relatives. That's a word for somebody right now. For Thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. Go out from your relatives. Anybody like me, you got some crazy people in your tree. Your family, too. Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming it's you we're talking about right now. So he says, go out from your country and your relatives. At some point in your life, God is going to bring you into a place and a space, and it might be today in Ferguson or Weldon or Earth City, Sunset, whatever campus you are, to where there was a divine moment, an intersection that you almost missed, but God somehow caused the bones to rattle. And now all of a sudden you realize that there's a divine purpose and there's a divine plan and there's divine power that is on the inside of you. So you can't think that you just came to church today. You were directed by the almighty hand of God to get you set up. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this. To get you out of that old way of thinking and into the new way of thinking. Now, when Rick Shelton, let's put up one more time, Pastor Rick and I, that picture there. He didn't see that picture with his gray beard and all the years of ministry, all the great missionaries that he was sent around the world. When he was holding me as a baby, he didn't see that moment. You could take it down. A lot of times, listen to me yelling right now. There's a lot of significant moments in your life, and I believe today is one of those moments for you. That there was a moment that happened where God brought you out of one land and into another land, but it didn't feel any different. I didn't wake up this morning and think, oh, I feel like the pastor of a great church. I feel it. I didn't wake up and think, I feel so married to Nicole. Oh my gosh, it's incredible. I just woke up and thought, what day is it? Right? Today's Sunday? Oh, I better get in the mood real quick to preach. Come on, help me right now. Because it's not based on a feeling. This is based, and you can trace it back to a fact, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for you. He gave himself for you, and you're called to live in victory, favor, and supernatural opportunity. Oh, we better keep reading quick. Get away from your relatives. Don't look at your wife like, that's a word from God right now. You heard the pastor. Then, listen, after you do this, then, verse 2, after you obey God, then I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and I love this next line, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. That sounds pretty good to me. That sounds like you're going to be driving down the road in not a beat-up Toyota held together with army green tape and I love Jesus bumper stickers. That doesn't exemplify blessing. God is wanting to show a difference between the world people and the word people. He said, I want to exemplify. I want to amplify. I want to make an advertising program out of my people being blessed when the world is in turmoil. When people are down financially, my people are going to be up. When marriages are defeated and divorce is happening at our church, people say, my gosh, I've never been so happy in all of my life. Can I get an amen on that? You can trace it back. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, it says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them slightly, when you feel like it, to your kids. No, it says you will teach them to your children. You will talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you will put them before your eyes, and you will write them on the doorposts of your house. Now, let's put up the baby picture of me because I want to see it one more time. So cute with my little bowl cut. Unbelievable. And my little deacon suit. Can I get an amen up in there? I was feeling it. I was feeling myself that day. I mean, look at me. I carried Band-Aids, I remember, because I was so afraid I was going to cut myself. I was so sharp. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Now, Nicole's flirting with me on the front row. If you didn't hear it, say, look, she said you're cute, and handsome, and attractive, and sexy. I made up that last stuff. She just said, I can't be lying. Now, my dad, with the little bowl cut, what was he doing? He was raising me in the house of God. There was no priority outside of this priority. So I can trace back my daughter today singing, may your favor be upon me to 1,000. We can trace that all the way back to the little bowl cut boy being raised in church. Now you have a decision to make in this day and then this hour when the time is, you know, evil. You can say, well, we'll fit it in when we can. Well, we got other priorities. Well, man, he can really bat. Oh, he can really bowl. Oh, he can really... No. There's nothing more important than the soul of man. There's nothing more important than getting your kids. Come on, our city auditor. Come on, Ferguson. I want some campus pastors saying amen to this. Nothing's more important than God. What do you think is more important than God? You need to leave a legacy. A legacy. So my dad today is in heaven looking down on all that he built. He didn't get to see all the great churches we built, but actually you could trace it back to the trailer that I grew up in. When the trailer that I grew up in was there, we didn't have food. We didn't have much, but what we did have was the word. And my dad started reading the word, and he would keep it before our eyes, and it changed our entire life. Now let's talk a minute about I have a letter, I think, there on the front row. If you could bring me that letter real quick. This is from prison. How many of y'all glad you're not in prison today? Raise your hand. Look at your neighbor, even if you don't know him, and say, that's where you should be. I can tell by looking at you. You should have done some time, because I can tell you done did the crime. My name is Brian Dwight Peterson, and I was able to watch your show talking about the Nicole Crank Show on the Hillsong Channel. I'm in prison here in the state of Michigan. And Brian Dwight writes us from prison this long letter saying that the show blessed him, helped him, encouraged him, and in a way got him back on the path and plan of God on his life. He said he was raised in a Christian home, and his parents brought him to church. But then he started hanging out with some girls that were strippers. And he moved in with the girl that was a stripper. How many of y'all know this is a bad idea already? It's going somewhere. I'm going to try that again for all you like. I like this idea. Now I know why so many dollar bills in our offering. I know now. So Dwight moves in with a stripper. The stripper is living with her friend who's a stripper. And the boyfriend of the other stripper came over. And one night there was a fight. And he was abusing the one stripper. And Dwight made things right. But when he made them right, he made them too right. And he killed the man. So he says now if he could go back, he wouldn't go to the club. If he could go back, he wouldn't have moved in with the stripper, because what he thought was fun, if you trace it all the way back, was a tragedy. And I'm begging some of you today that you're heading down the wrong path. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And you're heading down there fast. And we want to trace your life to the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you was saying, Dwight, don't move in with the stripper. Pray for the stripper, bless the stripper, allow somebody else to help the stripper, but you strip yourself from this stripper. It's getting real up in here today. This isn't even in the late service yet. Wait till the next one when I get warmed up. Come on, somebody. You can't even handle that one. That's when the strippers come, because it's later. Come on, somebody. We do. We have a lot of strippers come to our church. Pastor Phil at Weldon used to be a stripper. Come on, somebody. Now I'm lying. God forgive me for lying. But he goes on to say how that if Nicole's show had not been in there, it wouldn't have got him back on the path. So here's my question. If we could trace this all the way back, Dwight in prison in the state of Michigan, he's sitting there right now as we speak. I bet he wishes he could be here. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. But he can't be here. But Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So I can trace it all the way back to the trailer. Nicole being on this network where we do not ask for any money, that is because the blessing of the Lord changed my dad's trajectory. And my dad indoctrinated me. And he changed the way I thought. And now if you think about Earth City there today on the highway, 165,000 cars drive past that a day. We can't afford that $21 million building, but God did it. We can't afford that $37 million building in Sunset Hills, but God did it. I was broke, busted, and disgusted, eating air baloney. And God brought us from a 90-mile away. And the same God that did it for me is about to do it for you. And I'm telling you that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You better get an umbrella ready for supernatural favor, opportunity, breakthrough like you've never had. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise it. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah, I'm preaching today. Hello. Sure glad God delivered me from the bowl cut, though. Trace it down. I don't know if you can hear it at the campus, but some lady said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God done gave him a receding hairline. You can't show off like that anymore. I can't even do that now. It just looks really weird. Psalm 66, verse 12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. that debt hanging over your head, that lack hanging over your head, payday loan hanging over your head. If I can get my check from the government, but then I actually get an advance from the payday guy who's going to take a lot of your check. They rode over your heads, but check this out. You went through the fire. You went through the flood, but thou hast brought me into my wealthy place. God's tired of something hanging over your head. I don't know if I could pay my rent. There's a person right now at the church in Ferguson. She told us a story last week there in Ferguson that they had given her an eviction notice and that her utilities had been shut off. But she said, you know what? No matter what, come hell or high water, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to sow and they're not going to kick me out. And through a supernatural chain of events, God supernaturally brought her enough money to not only not get her evicted, but get her set up and all the utilities are back on. And all of that fear that was hanging over her head is gone today. And I guarantee you, she's at Ferguson giving God some praise. Can I get an amen? Wealthy place. Wealthy place. Everybody shout wealthy place. But again, it comes from legacy, and I want to drill that again. Last night here at the Royal Palm Beach campus, I was outside shaking hands at the end of this service, and somebody handed me this check for $1,000. And the check, I was going to go put in the offering this morning. And got to thinking about it. Actually, the Holy Spirit brought it to me and wanted me to show this to you. I think I got a picture because I emailed all the campuses a picture of this guy. See this guy right here, Ken. Ken's got his Made New shirt on. Now, this is from Ken's funeral. Ken experienced a life change through this church. Talking about legacy. We could trace this all the way back to the trailer. And there was something about my humorous approach and the style that I preached that spoke to him. God spoke to me years ago and said, my sheep know my voice and a stranger will not follow. Ken heard my voice, changed his life, he said, and he moved from a distant state, New Jersey, I believe it was, and he moved down here next to a Bobo High School that we have church in down here on a street called Shiloh, which means meeting place with God. And no offense, I just want to paint the picture so people aren't like, I bet it was an affluent area. No, when we moved into that high school, it was a very low-graded school. And from us having church there over the years, their grade kept coming up and their status kept coming up and they're blessed because we're there. Now put Ken's picture up. Keep Ken's picture up at all campuses. I want you to see this. So Ken now comes and visits his family, gets so radically changed. He said, I want to move down here, and he got him a house about a mile from the school. He didn't move here for a job. He moved here for a church. He didn't move here because there was money. He moved here because there was powerful anointing, and he knew that it was his church. And so Pastor Austin baptized him, and when you get baptized at our church, they give you the Made New shirt. He loved that shirt because he said it represented the life change that happened to him, and it made him brand new. He wanted pictures in his shirt. In a few days before he went on to be with the Lord, his son called me, Ryan, and I left a long voicemail for Ken telling him how proud I was of him, how that he's getting ready to go to heaven, how he's going to see my dad, the whole deal. And then he wanted the picture at his funeral to be in the shirt so all the people would know he had been made new. Now, here's the part I want you to get. Go ahead, give God praise for that. You did that. Julie Thompson helping build, Earth City, her and Jim and Willie and everybody that's there today. You helped build that church and sent me to Florida. All the great people at Earth, Sunset Hills and all the other campuses. We're a team, guys. This guy's life was changed, and today he's in heaven. Here's the part that freaked me out. This morning they gave it to me when I was walking to the car. I had it in my suit, and today I thought, okay, I was getting ready to give it to Nicole. Say, hey, make sure this gets to the offering. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. He said, I want you to show the people that Ken's in heaven, but he already premeditated his giving and his check will clear while he's up there. Let that sink in a minute. He's in heaven. I'm holding a man's check and he's up there singing, oh, heaven, come on, someone. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints, probably got his new shirt on, go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be. You want to come back, Ken? Oh, I ain't going back there to that corona infested mess. I'm up here where Jesus is king and my seed is in the ground and I'm going to get more people made. I'm going to get more people saved. I'm going to get more people helped. I'm going to get more people healed. And this is what I want to do with my life. You can trace back your blessing to today. Go ahead, give God praise for a minute. Keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. Done. Got me so rowdy, I'm standing up. I feel like George Jefferson. I'm moving on up. But I am going to sit back down just for a minute. Genesis 13. We got to go see some really quick scriptures because you only got 4 minutes. And maybe you ought to come to the next service because I'll get into more of this. But Genesis 13, verse 2, it says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And I'm so glad God had him say that, because religious people would say, no, he was very rich in good works. He was very rich in prayer. He was very rich in peace. And certainly he was. But the Bible said, I know some religious person is going to try to talk my people out of being blessed. Because if the enemy, catch this, listen to me right now. If the enemy can keep you broke, you can't go to Michigan prison and get the dude saved and back on the right track. And we do that countless times a week. So let's read it again. Let's all read it together at all campuses. Put it on the screen for him. Abraham was, does it say very rich? Okay, let's read it the way we see it, because that's a good thing. There's a difference between being rich. Okay. Some people in your neighborhood rich. Michael Jackson. Giraffe rich. Come on, somebody. Monkey rich. I want a monkey. I want a giraffe. I want my own part. So Abraham was, shout at what? In livestock, and in silver, and in gold. Genesis 13, verse 5. Lot, now this is his relative who was not supposed to go with Abraham, but he tagged along anyway, and he got rich on the overflow. He got rich, if you could trace it back, he got rich on the blessing that was on Abraham. Lot also went with Abraham, and he had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their, shout it real loud, possessions. Is it on the screen? Can you read it? It's all campuses. For, I'm sure it's coming soon. For their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together. In other words, I got too many cows, you got too many cows, we can't be on the same land. I got too many lambs, you got too many lambs. In fact, we can't dwell together anymore, even though we're relatives, because the blessing of the Lord has blessed me so much. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Now, we preach that at funerals, but that is not a funeral scripture. The enemy has tried to get you to bury thou shalt not lack. You need to resurrect it today and say, I'll never be broke another day of my life. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Everything my hand touches turns to good. I'm blessed. Job 36. Some people call it job. That could be a word for somebody today. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in poverty and their years in, they shall spend their years in prosperity and their years in pleasure, not pain. Two things motivate people, pleasure and pain, pleasure and pain. God says he doesn't want you living in pain. He wants you living in pleasure. He wants your life to be pleasurable. It is also pleasurable today to know that this man, Ken, is in heaven and was baptized in our tanks. It's a pleasure today to know that people are in prison hearing the word and they're getting blessed. That's just a pleasure. Psalms 1, verse 1. We're almost done, class. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Talking about the news and social media. Don't walk in the counsel of these people. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. Meditates, meditate. You're thinking about it day and night. Check it out. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth fruit in its season. And his leaf, even though it's corona, even though there's financial peril, shall not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. In other words, whatever you do is going to prosper. You're going to prosper in the city. You're going to prosper in the country. You're going to prosper in your rising up. You're going to prosper in your lying down. And everything your hand touches turns to good. Shout amen to that.
Amen.
Now, last scripture I want to read is Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made poor. Dang, homeschool. Let me try it again. The generous soul will be made
rich.
And he who waters will himself be watered. I prophesy to you that there's supernatural increase coming to not everybody, but to the people that will reach out and grab it and make a decision. This is the weekend here in 2020. Right before Thanksgiving, that I'm drawing a line in the sand, that I'm actually changing my mindset, and I'm not going to think about defeat, poverty, lack, shame. I'm wondering to figure out when I'll be on with my life. No, 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 no. The blessing of the Lord gets us on with this thing called favor and grace immediately. And we have a job to do. As I close, 250,000 people, I just looked it up last night. 250,000 people will die of hunger in this next year, and a lot of them are dying in countries that rely on tourism. I don't know if you've ever been to Cuba. Raise your hand if you've been to Cuba. Raise your hand. Here in Florida, it would be apparently just my family. But in St. Louis, I doubt anybody's been to Cuba. But Cuba's only 90 miles off our shores here in the Sunshine State. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and I was having lunch with somebody, a very important man, and who'd given a lot of money to the church, and he was talking, and when he was talking to me, I could see his mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him anymore. Right here, down right by the intercoastal. His mouth was moving. He's a very blessed guy. I really need to pay attention to what he's saying. And I couldn't hear him. It's like he got muted. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that book I had Nicole write, Hi God, It's Me Again, go back to the office, have them translate that into Spanish and get it over into Cuba. And then I unmuted and the guy started talking to you. And I said, sorry, so-and-so, I don't even know what you said for the last 2 minutes, but I got to go. And I got up and I ran down our offices over downtown West Palm. And I said, hey, Nicole, this is what happened. Some people here at our West Palm Beach church begin to be Griffey and them. They begin to translate it into Spanish. And then we took thousands of those over there and got favor with the government over there under the table and was able to actually hide. I don't know what you call that, where you put it in containers and you smuggle. Yeah, so we smuggled. I didn't want to say it, but I said it. Come on, somebody. Dwight, I'll come see you soon. I'll be up in prison, okay? So now we got all these big shipping containers that they ship drugs in, and we have thousands of the books in it, and we open it up, and then me and Nicole started going in our team to all these poor areas over there in Cuba, and there's, thank you, they're saying in Spanish, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then two or three people brought us in their house and said, come here. Walk around the corner. We went in there, and somebody had already took some in to there in Cuba, and they were saying, look, I've already got this book, and I hide it under my bed. And the communist government comes in and tries to shut them down and steal their stuff. Not one Christian bookstore in Cuba, not one Christian radio station in Cuba, not one Christian television station. But you know what there is now? Thousands of High God books running all over that place. And even though tourism is shut down and the cruise ships can't come in and the people were starving then, I can't imagine the pain they're in now, but I prophesy to every person that's listening to me right now that you have family in some of these countries that they're actually starving to death from hunger. I prophesy that God is going to use you in such a way that you'll be able to slide money, send money, feed nations. Somebody ought to get excited about this and change their life for the good. That's what the blessing is for. Everybody shout, that's what the blessing is for. Now I want you to stand up with me at all campuses right now. Don't move around. Don't run out. Come on, Ferguson, Weldon, or City Sunset. Don't you go anywhere. I want you to look at me in the eyes. And I want to say a couple things to you. This was not just a sermon today. This was a word from God prophetically into your life. God shows me things, speaks to me. The enemy doesn't like what our church is doing, but we don't care what the enemy likes. We don't even care what the inner me that you might have right now is saying, well, you're never going to be blessed because look what you did. Look at the divorce. Look at the alimony. Look at the debt. Listen, God can take you out of debt in a day. I said, I'm going to say it again. He can take you out of debt in a day. I won't bore you with the stories, but I've got hundreds of stories right now I can tell you about supernatural things that happened just in the last quarter of this year with people from our church that sit right next to you. God's about to do it in your life. I know it might seem kind of weird, but I want you to, if you're comfortable right now, to take both of your hands and look at them. And on these hands, most of you have, unless there was some kind of freak accident, you have five fingers coming out. Five means grace and favor. So every time you look at your hands, you ought to look at your hands and say, these hands are going to dial all the right emails. They're going to type out all the right texts. They're going to shake, even in COVID, all the right hands. These hands are authorized dealers of prosperity. These hands will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These hands will not get sticky. These hands are blessed of God. Now I want you to say this with me. Shout, God, I dedicate my heart to you, my eyes to you, my ears to you, and my hands to you. And I declare that I'm going to be part of the answer, the solution to drug addiction, to world hunger, to opioids, to all the things that the enemy is doing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I declare right now that legacy and breakthrough and blessing is on my life. Satan, I deassign you. I render you helpless and inoperative in my life because the blessing of God is on my life for 1,000 generations. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, sing it, church.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.